everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Hole Show, powered by PDC Energy. That's a nice vibe there, Jades. Love that. That was the vibe I was getting at CSU football practice this morning, bright and early. Get the some of the 80s rock going, jamming out to AC/DC. Then they switched it over to like Nelly. So it was like early 2000s hip-hop and rap. Kevin Lytle and I were almost ready to just start dancing out there. Kevin, my man, of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, a little chillier than I wanted it to be, but overall, you can't complain when you're out there watching football. I love getting out there. It's fun.
Yeah, it's nice. It was a crisp little morning for us, but once the sun came out, I was doing a little better. My feet had to warm up. But yeah, it's nice to be able to just watch and see everything that's going on. You know, slowly starting to learn this roster. You know, it feels like 75% of it is new players, so there's almost no base of knowledge at times, it feels like. But starting to see kind of the plans here and what's coming together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, you and I were, and you would know this way more than me, but the openness of practice. I got there early. I'm standing by the gate, and I'm like, nobody's here to let us into. I just go, and I ran into one of the assistant to the assistant regional manager type coaches. Said, "Yeah, dude, you can just walk right up. You're fine. You don't have to wait." I'm like, wow, really? And then I saw you popping up. And again, as long as you're media credentialed or whatever, they want you coming out. They want you taking pictures and showcasing the vibe that's going on for Colorado State.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very open. They've been very public about that. Of, you know, no secrets. And yeah, there are a ton of high school coaches and kids around, too. I mean, I just off the top of my head, I'm thinking of four or five different high school coaching staffs I've seen represent in the last few days out there. So they, you know, kind of have, obviously, it's open door policy for everyone with fans being allowed to attend, but they really seem to be encouraging coaches to come out as well, which I'm sure is well received from that end. You know, the local connections that they can make now.
Yeah, and that, you're right, Kevin, that was something unique, too. I remember looking over in the parking lot, suddenly you just see this slew of young, they look like football players walking toward there. Now, is that the norm? Did you see that under a lot under Adazio's regime? Did you see that with Bobo? Did you see it with McElwain?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the last couple of years, there were, you know, some of the COVID restrictions that did prevent, you know, some of those things even being possible. But no, I think it's pretty rare to have this, and not I think, I know it's very rare to have this level of openness and access and everything. So yeah, this is a very unique situation in college football day, because every year around the country, it just becomes kind of more and more closed off as teams try and basically control, you know, every message they can and every bit of information that comes out. And here Norvell's, you know, basically doing the opposite, saying, you know, what you see is what you get. So might as well let everyone see it.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, I prepped you for this one today, so you got to be ready for this. And I'm going to ask it how you wanted this asked, because I asked you first who right now, who the top five players are on this roster. Let's do this instead. The top five most important players on this roster. I know it's early, it's March 31st, but right now, give me the top five. Who do you think?
Yeah, this was a fun discussion, and yeah, I'd love to hear fan thoughts too. We were discussing the five best and five most important, and those aren't necessarily the same thing. So I think right now, five best is probably hard. Five most important, I think we can do. And this, I haven't ordered them one through five, Brady, so I'm just going to give you five, and we'll let people just try and figure out the best order. But Clay Millen's got to be in there. You know, the air raid offense, if you're going to be throwing around a bunch, the quarterback's going to be very important. So Clay Millen's going to be the guy we expect, so he's in there. Second name I'm going to give you, and this could end up biting me in the backside, but George Mickey Hahn. I think he has a good chance to be the starting center. And obviously offensive line play is important, and you better have a good center to have good offensive line play.
Sure. So,
if Mickey Hahn is the guy, then he's obviously very important. And then I'm going to move over to defense here, and Devin Phillips. He probably would be in that best five players mix as well. But the D-line is pretty thin. They don't have a lot of guys. And new defensive coordinator Frey Banks is big on, hey, my D-linemen aren't there to hold blocks and let the linebackers get free. My D-linemen are there to raise some heck and cause problems. And Devin Phillips can do that. So he's we're at number three now, I guess.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go Angel King, another kind of new name to people. He came over from Nevada. He's played a lot of cornerback, but he's going to be a safety for CSU. And, again, that defensive back position is a place they're a little thin. But Angel King, I think, can be really, really important and really help shore up that back end, because we saw last year how much the defensive back struggled. So that's a big one. And then number five, I can go a lot of ways here. And we could sit here and you could talk me into a lot of different things. But I'm going to go, I'll go Torrey Horton, probably your number one receiver. You could talk me out of a receiver in the top five because they use so many guys that they maybe don't have to be the most important. But Torrey Horton looks like he can make some incredible plays and be a real game changer. So I'll slide him in there. And there's my way too early projection for top five most important players.
I love it. So we got a quarterback, a center. You got to protect the quarterback. Somebody's got someone for the quarterback to throw to. And then on the defensive side, we got two guys there, a defensive lineman and a safety. So, right now it makes sense. I wrote them down, Kevin, as you were talking. So I'm definitely going to bring this back to you, week four or five into the season, and we'll see.
I was going to say, I'm sure it'll be brought back when, none of those guys are even on the field. And it's a whole bunch of different guys playing, and it's like, wow, what does this guy look at when he's out there? I mean, is he even awake?
You want to know what's funny, and I don't know, maybe I'm looking too much into this. I'm watching Torrey Horton, and I just... there's a confidence level about him. And I'm not saying other players aren't doing this, but when the music's going on, in between reps, you kind of see him. He's dancing around a little bit. And I'm seeing some other guys do it, but some guys look serious, and that's not bad either. But I don't know, man. I just look at him, I'm like, that's a confident wide receiver right there. He's just kind of busting into some moves, and then bam, he runs out for a quick route. I think that kind of stuff bodes well. But again, I'm probably looking way too much into that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely enjoys that. I talked to him the other day, and actually, right before we got on air here, kind of writing about that group, and especially in this offense, that's a fun position. You should have fun. You should enjoy it. I mean, if you're a receiver, and Brady, I mean, how many passes do we see thrown at practice? It's a ton. Jay Norvell was not lying when he said that they'll throw more in one practice than most teams do in a month worth of practice. They really fling around. So for a receiver, I mean, you've just got to love it. And you're running all these routes. You know, the ball is always in your hands. We've all watched a lot of football practices. A lot of times a receiver can go a long time without catching a football in a practice. That's not the case here. So, yeah, I think that group absolutely enjoys it.
It keeps them in shape, too. I mean, I'm looking, and they run a route, they run back, they maybe take a play off, and then they're back in a route. So they are certainly getting after it. I'm really excited to see, and I know this was probably tough for you to leave off, but I am excited to see Dante Wright and how he's utilized. I agree with you, by the way, though. I mean, all those position groups make perfect sense to me. I just want to see what happens with Wright, because he's kind of been that one. We busted onto the scenes with Bobo's offense, and then he did what he could for the most part under Adazio's, and now I think he's in a perfect setup for him. Will he get lost in the crowd and just be one of a bunch of great guys, or will he kind of get back to having some amazing numbers again? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him too. I mean, he's a guy that we've all seen some of the game breaking plays he can make, so he has all that ability. And that's, another part of the good thing of this offense is, it's not going to be one or two guys catching all the balls. It will, they spread it around a lot. So a lot of different guys will have chances to make some plays. So I think Dante's in for a nice season. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for him to have the opportunity because, he's obviously kind of gone on a wild ride. Him and Ty McCulloch, you go from, the Mike Bobo offense where there are a lot of passes being thrown to, Steve Adazio offense where, not much of that. And now back to, really, probably even more explosive type of offense in the air raid. So those guys have kind of paid their dues. I'm excited to see, how they can bear the fruits of this offense.
Kevin, a few things quickly, a couple of minutes left here, but you know, Pro Day, wanted to get your thoughts there. Trey McBride got a quick 40 in, and very quick, especially for a guy of his size, so mission accomplished for him. And then David Roddy, we kind of knew this was coming. He makes it official yesterday that he's, or I guess was that, yeah, yesterday, that he's going to be declaring for the NBA draft. So Trey McBride first, you know, you talked about it today to me at practice that he was kind of emotional after that 40.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much that goes into it, you know, especially for him. All the, you know, everything on tape, you know, shows what you get with Trey McBride, but the NFL has become obsessed with that speed element, and in a lot of ways you can understand. So Trey, you know, he said basically since the season ended, all eyes have been on the 40 for him, you know, because he knew everything else, the tape would look good, all that would look good, but there were going to be questions about his speed. So he'd put so much into running, you know, 40 yards really well once, which is, it's pretty wild to think of how important that can be. But he did it, you know, kind of unofficial times, but he was in, you know, the 4.54 to 4.56 type of range. And that is more than good enough. And I'm not sure there was any doubt before, but now that really cements him as, you know, tight end one in the draft. And yeah, he said, you know, it's a breath of fresh air, sigh of relief to just have it done and know he accomplished what he'd been working to do. So, you know, happy for him. That was a really good showing. And now, you know, he'll do interviews and stuff, but that'll be easy. Trey obviously will shine in those. So now it's kind of just bide your time and wait for the draft coming up here in a little less than a month.
Well, we know Trey's getting drafted. We some of us think first round, some go to the second round. How about David Roddy? Is he going to get drafted? Do you think he's good enough to get drafted? Will they tell him that? If they tell him, you know, maybe you're a late second round or maybe not, he might come back. What do you think they're going to tell him, man?
Yeah, this is where the NFL and NBA are so different. You know, the NFL, so many guys are picked, you know, seven rounds, and then you get a bunch of undrafted free agents, and they have a great, you know, they can make a roster. NBA rosters are so small that it is very, very hard. I mean, second round picks are far from guaranteed to even be on the roster. So the chances are just smaller by numbers. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think there's a decision. I don't think, you know, I listened to David on your show yesterday and everything he said. I don't think there's a decision made that, you know, he expects 100% one way or the other. It's going to come down to a lot of that evaluation. And if you, I've looked at a lot of mock drafts and things like that. Some have him as a late first rounder. Some have him, you know, late second, even some places say he's a free agent type. So it's really all over the map right now. He's another guy that obviously in interviews and things like that, he's really going to shine. I mean, he will impress teams with his maturity and makeup and all that. But it's going to be, you know, do teams feel he's ready to fit, you know, on the basketball court? Obviously, he can do a lot of things. You know, defensively, you'll probably have some questions, you know, because he's a guy that'll probably have to guard three different positions at the NBA level. So that's probably a thing he'll have to answer, you know, at the combine and things like that. So, you know, right now it's a toss-up. Right now, I'd say I feel probably more likely that he comes back to CSU than goes to draft. But I also wouldn't say that's a certainty. I had some fans that say, oh, he's 100% coming back. And I'd say I'd caution that. I don't think that's a guarantee because – if he feels pretty strongly that he's a first-round pick, it, you know, frankly, it would probably be foolish to come back.
Yeah, you know, and seeing in the ESPN top 100 or something, you know, 30. And again, that's not necessarily that he's the top, you know, the best 30 player right. Of the 30 players. It all depends on who needs him and that kind of things, too. But I'll tell you, I thought maybe not. Maybe going back to CSU, I was leaning more toward that way, but I have been reading more and more stuff from the national side where it's like, okay, they are definitely paying attention to David. Kevin, my man, always appreciate you. I know you're putting together great stuff on all things Pro Day, spring ball, and more, even into the basketball side of things too.
Yeah, it's exciting time. I mean, there are a lot of question marks around things right now with the draft and everything, but it's really exciting stuff for CSU. A lot of things for CSU fans to be excited about.
Yeah, no doubt about it, my man. Kevin, appreciate you. Good seeing you bright and early, man. I love it. Even though it's cold, it's still fun seeing you out there.
Absolutely. Always good chatting with you out there, Brady.
All right, my man. There's Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado one. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show, or wrap up the first hour. I didn't even talk about the Nuggets game last night. Tony Brothers just hates the Nuggets. Austin Rivers was ejected for his elbow hitting air. It just hit air. We're also going to have former, I guess, UNC Bears cornerback Komaite Koffi will join us. His quest to get into the NFL. His brother is in the NFL, starting D lineman for the Colts. So he's got a wonderful story of perseverance. His mother, of course, just an amazing woman. So we're going to talk to Komaite coming up in a few minutes. You're not going to want to miss this interview. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
My bad. That's my bad, Jades. I distracted you from doing your great work. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. What a fast-moving hour. We talked some Wyoming stuff with Cody Tucker. We talked CSU with Kevin Lytle. I haven't even got into the Nuggets yet. I will. I haven't even got into my big story of the day yet. I will. Couple of big stories, actually. Good news, Nathan McKinnon. He's going. He's a go tonight. So Avs win without him. You're wondering how bad the injury is. Hopefully not season ending or at least a couple of weeks. And no, it's good. He just a little banged up. No big deal. He's going to be playing tonight. All right, second hour to start this hour, the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to have UNC Bears, former UNC Bear Komaite Koffi join us. He was at UNC's Pro Day a couple of days ago. He actually went down to Boulder and joined CU's Pro Day as well. So we're still very excited about all this Pro Day stuff, and we're going to follow up on that. Coming up next, the whole show powered by PDC Energy. After the 12 o'clock hour, good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome to Thursday's edition of The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. This final day of March. April Fool's Day is tomorrow, Jades. No April Fool's jokes, none of that stuff. No. But a lot of times I don't like much music other than rock. I like rock music. You probably know if you listen to the show. So several times you pull into practice and it's different variations of hip-hop or, you know, rap music. And I don't hear rock as much as I'd like to. So I pull in and they got the speakers going in the parking lot. And it's like 80s rock. It's AC/DC going. And I'm just like, yeah, here we go. So that was fun today. There's just so much going on. All these pro days happening left and right. It was cool to get out to CSU's. I know Wyoming, of course, they have some guys that, well, certainly one guy is going to be playing at that next level. Joining me now, Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. Cody, my man, I have so many things that I got to talk to you about. I don't even know where to begin. How are you, my friend?
It's busy, man. It just never ends.
When do you get an off season? I mean, for you personally, you're on this beat all the time, and this is like basketball's over, football. I know spring football's starting, but I mean, I'm wondering when do you get a break, my man?
Well, if you hear a baby goat in the background, that's my 4-month-old daughter screaming at the top of her lungs. But allegedly, I'm going to get some paternity leave in May. So
okay.
We'll see.
All right. Well, hang in there, man. You're getting close. I love it. What's your little one's name? I don't think I've asked you that yet, Cody.
Her name's Holland Kennedy.
Holland Kennedy.
she is a handful and very, very unexpected, Brady. Very unexpected.
Oh, man. Well, you have your hands full, my man. I got a four-year-old, and I never know what's going to happen. I mean, he's now busting out of his room and just walks in wherever he wants, you know, to our room at night. And here he is, looks around, doesn't really like what's happening there. So he turns around, leaves, goes back to bed. So it's like, what is happening here, man? I don't even run my house anymore. A four-year-old runs it.
Yeah, I hear the walking stuff's going to be a lot of fun. So they keep saying it gets better and enjoy these moments. Yeah.
Hey, it's,
yeah, I'm trying.
It is so much fun, I'll tell you, man. But yes, there's times like we still use a monitor because you just never know. So we look at the monitor. We're like, he's not in his room anymore. Where is he? It's like a scary movie. And then you look up and he's right there. He's holding up his water cup. He's like, water. Like, dude, okay. And then he doesn't even drink it. You give him the water, he takes it, he sets it down, he looks at you and goes, good night. And it's like, was that just an anticipatory order there? What was that, you know?
That's exactly what that was.
Hey, he knows he's going to need it in the middle of the night. You know, most of us don't think that far ahead, so I'm amazed. Cody, okay, let's get to this first. Well, Jeff Linder, sounds like he's going to stick around for a while. We get an extension done. We kind of saw this. We thought they'd at least try, and I know the big concern you and I've talked about was both Nico Medved and Jeff Linder, and Nico gets his big contract extension. Talk to us about some of the details surrounding the new contract for Jeff.
Yeah, so it's bumping up. His base salary was about $225 last year, and then, you know, that also includes a couple hundred thousand from the Cowboy Jail Club and other incentives. So, you know, he ended up getting about a couple hundred thousand raise. And, you know, five-year deal and a lot of incentive-based stuff, Brady. And some of those incentives when we first saw him when he got here were laughable. You know, 10,000 in the stands. Yeah, right. And, you know, 20 wins, give me a break. NCAA tournament appearance, come on. So a lot of that stuff. And Linder made some nice coin actually accomplishing those things this year. So I'm very just so impressed with him. And I know I talked to Tom Berman when we were in Dayton and the athletic director, of course, and he's like, I said, when is this deal going to get done? And he said, man, we are trying. We are doing anything we can to get him locked up. So I'm glad to see they did it. And like CSU, Cowboys protected themselves a little bit on the back end as well. If they would have lost Linder last year, they basically would have just flat lost him in a lot of ways. So, you know, both these schools are now protected if they go on to other places.
So, you know, the narrative with Medved here was, hey, I went from thinking he'd be gone in a year or two to, okay, I can see him sticking around reasonably, you know, for 5 to 6 more years. I could really see that with the amount of money. What does this tell you about Linder? Obviously, not going anywhere going into next season. Does this give you more peace of mind that he might be there for a little bit of a longer haul?
God, Brady, it's so hard to say this day and age. I mean, you don't even know if the starting center is going to be here tomorrow, you know?
Right.
And we never worried about that before. But in Wyoming, it's just a matter, it's just, you know, like death and taxes, your coach leaves. And that's what everybody, you know, people who are my age and older are still gun-shy, even though the Cowboy football program hasn't lost a coach since 1999. And the basketball program hasn't lost a coach to success since 1998, but there were so, so many before that made it stepping stone you that people are still gun-shy about the whole thing. And that's honestly from afar what you look at, and you would see Sonny Lubick and you'd see Fisher DeBerry, and you'd be like, damn, I mean, look at the stability in those two programs. It's just it's incredible, and it doesn't happen at mid-majors often. So, you know, I that's why I always hope CSU fans really realize what they had in Sonny.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's hard to find those kind of coaches that are great and that could potentially go almost anywhere, but they really like their environment and maybe there's less pressure and they can almost become a king. I mean, Jeff Linder sticks around long enough and finds more success. I mean, he's going to be treated like a king around there. So I do look at that aspect. Same with Nico Medved. It's like you can run the area. You will be beloved anywhere you go. You won't have to pay for a meal if you don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. And what's weird, I mean, to show you how many coaches came and went in Wyoming football history, Craig Bohl is entering year 9 right now, which is the longest tenured coach of all time. One more year now than Lloyd Eaton did in the 60s. So, and Lloyd Eaton kind of, you know, cashed his own way out of town with the whole Black 14 scandal. But either way, I mean, Craig's been here that long, and that's just unheard of around here. So it's good to see, but, you know, obviously the winning needs to start as well.
Now, and obviously we've talked about this before too, but it's happening all over the country, transfers left and right. And, you know, it kind of continues to happen. happen there. We're just not shocked when we see it. But again, I think I asked you a while ago, is there a reason for fans to be panicking when you see this? Or is this just, again, all part of it? Everyone's experiencing kind of the same way.
Well, I know fans are panicking just because it's so new. I mean, it's even jolting for us, right? I mean, you see it and you go, damn, you know. But I think as far as the Cowboy basketball program, they lost four guys immediately. And, you know, the other thing we're not privy to here a lot, Brady, is did the coaches ask them to look for greener pastures? Mm-hmm. Because I know the Cowboys four guys are losing on the basketball team right now. They didn't play. I mean, they just flat didn't play. And you have to wonder, your mind starts to wonder, and you go, did Jeff Linder go through this gauntlet of a Mountain West and then go through the NCAA tournament and think to himself, you know, those guys could not beat Indiana, and we don't have time to develop. We need to win now, and we need to keep this momentum going. And I don't know if that's the case, but we're not privy to it, so your mind kind of runs a little.
And that's a great point, too, because so many, I mean, this is why I think, and I love what you do, and you have to be respectful of this now. You know, it's so easy to just say so-and-so transferred, but it is worth saying, why did they transfer? Was it because the coach said, here's the deal, man, you're playing, I mean, the Rams had a starter, and DeShaun Thomas, he's leaving, so you might not get the playing time that you think. You know, we got guys coming in. Ultimately, I think, you know, CU's Tad Boyle said it, I am looking for your replacement as soon as you get signed up here. So you do wonder how much of that actually goes on. So talk to us about the state of basketball then. With what's like right now, today, March 31st, Cody, what does the starting rotation look like? What do the starters look like for Wyoming?
Well, I think they look exactly the same, minus Drake Jeffries. And, of course, like David Roddy, Hunter Maldonado's test in the waters a little bit in the NBA. I think a lot of people feel Hunter will be back for his sixth year, which is crazy. But aside from Drake Jeffries, who, of course, was the Cowboys' top three-point man last year, aside from him, they all should be intact, really. The other three they lost saw very few minutes throughout the season. So I think it also excites Jeff Linder because, if you remember, the day he got hired on St. Patrick's Day 2020, and that's the day that basically the world shut down. And all he did was haul in the number one recruiting class in the Mountain West over Zoom calls to a team that had won eight games. So I think he's a great recruiter, and I think he's excited to open up some of these spots so he can actually go out and recruit, because if those guys would have stayed, they would have had maybe one scholarship to mess around with. Now they have a few. So it's a nice problem to have. They got a kid named Caden Powell, 6'9 kid, who I believe just won player of the year in his district in Waco, Texas, freshman coming in. So they're excited about him, especially on the defensive end of the floor. And I think they got a few more scholarships to play with. And Jeff Linder has done nothing but bring in great players. So I think the fan base should believe.
Yeah, so kind of almost keeping the same core intact, again, assuming what the situation looks like for Hunter. I think both Hunter, I think Roddy will be back too. I think that he's probably going to be told maybe second round is something, go increase your stock one more year. So Wyoming probably reloading with maybe some big guys coming in that could provide some instant help.
Yeah, well, I mean, have you checked the transfer portal since we've been on the phone? I mean, you never know.
No, that's the thing, man. I can't keep it straight anymore. I don't know how you do it. I refresh, and then I forget. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy transferred. I forgot about that. So it's so new. What was Pro Day like for you guys? I didn't get a chance to get up there, Cody. I did talk to a lot of people at CSU's Pro Day. And obviously they're high on that linebacker, of course. But talk to us about how they showed out and where you think, what's the ceiling look like for some of these guys?
Yeah, so obviously the main attraction is Chad Muma. Yeah. He did most of his work at the Combine in Indianapolis last month. And he still ran through some drills and stuff. And 29 of the 32 teams were in attendance, mostly to see Chad. And you think about all those fans that were there for Josh Allen, or all those scouts that were there for Josh Allen. That got a couple of guys, other guys seen. Rico Gafford, who was with the Broncos practice squad last year, who's now in Green Bay, he ran a 4.2, and all of a sudden he's in the NFL. And nobody ever thought that would happen. So Chad Muma bringing all 29 of those scouts basically by himself really got some eyes on some of his teammates. And Logan Wilson happened to be there in the crowd in attendance and had a chance to talk to Logan. And I said, do you think Chad will go before you? And Logan, of course, went early in the third round. And he said, absolutely, he's going to go before me. And the other thing he said is, Logan's the most humble guy you'll ever meet. But he said, maybe I kind of opened some doors that, hey, it's not very risky to take a middle linebacker from Wyoming early in the draft. And I think we saw that.
What about the first round? Because, I mean, I heard some people say that suddenly they're changing their line of thinking. Maybe he could be a first rounder because that need for middle linebacker is starting to pop up for several teams.
Yeah, and man, he looks every bit the part. He's 6'3". He's in the best shape of his life. Man, he looks unbelievable. He basically looks like the defensive version of Trey McBride. I mean, really, he is absolutely yoked, and he's fast, and he's in the top three in almost every category for linebackers. So, and I think with that, with what Logan Wilson has done in his short NFL career so far, I think that is going to open some doors here for Chad Muma, and that is going to make some NFL personnel say, "Hey, small school G5 program, yeah, look what his buddy did." And Muma sat behind Wilson for 2 years in Laramie, so I think it's just Chad. The sky's the limit for that dude. He's going to be your perfect teammate. He's going to give you no trouble. All he's going to do is bust his tail, and very cerebral player. I'm really excited to see how high he goes.
Well, you know, Cody, he'd look good in blue and orange. My man.
He would.
I think, the Broncos got Josie Jewell. They re-signed him, but that's still one of their, they don't have major needs right now, but that's one of their needs. One of the guys I was talking to yesterday said, if the Broncos can get crafty enough and move in, early second round or even into that late first, they might be looking at Chad at that point.
Oh, that would be sweet. After they whiffed on Josh Allen, it's the least they could do, right?
Don't remind me, man. Wyoming fans just got to be, they love their Josh Allen, but imagine if Allen's a Bronco, like all of that, the beacon that shines on the Wyoming program on a weekly basis, too. So I think everybody's just regretting that one.
I got to tell you, I covered Michigan State at that time, and I was in my living room in Michigan watching that draft, and I said, oh, my God, Josh is still on the board. The Broncos are coming up. Oh, my God, this is going to happen. And, boy, did they rip your heart right out of your chest.
I mean, and he was like the perfect quarterback for Elway. Tall, tough, gritty. He can run. He can get hit. He can, he can throw. Great arm. I thought for sure. Now, it's funny, Cody, I did predict – I said the Broncos, because I knew John Elway's draft the way he drafted. I said they're going to take the best player available at 5, and I had a feeling it was going to be Bradley Chubb. And again, I didn't want that. Josh Allen for sure, but I had a feeling that's where they were going. So I hated to be right about that. I love to be right, but that was the one time that I really hated to be right.
I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this question, Brady, but as a lifelong Broncos fan, I've asked myself, who is the greatest quarterback the Denver Broncos have ever drafted? It might be Brian Greasy. I mean, it sure as hell wasn't Plummer. It wasn't Elway. It wasn't Manning. Who was it?
It's true. I mean, Brian Greasy's probably right up there, man. I mean, that's a great point because we all know the Elway situation and Manning and Plummer, those guys in the trade. I mean, that's a really good question, man. Wow. That's nuts.
It's terrifying to think about, but I mean, literally, Jay Cutler's in that conversation.
Well, maybe Jay Cutler. And that's sad, isn't it? Well, who knows? Maybe Drew Locke will go on to do something crazy for Seattle, and we can go back and say, it was Drew Locke. It's not for the Broncos.
Well, hopefully the Colts will hand us another one here after Russell Wilson's done.
Yeah, right. If you just have to wait 6 years in between to get another stuff, I can wait 6 years to get a shot at a Super Bowl. I'm fine with that.
You've been pretty spoiled for all this griping, haven't we?
No doubt about it. Hey, okay, so our Method Flow Products poll question of the day today, and I can help. I'll refresh this for you if you don't know. Who's your favorite Colorado MVP? You got Elway, Manning, Davis, Larry Walker, a Rocky did get an MVP, Sakic, Forsberg, and now Nikola Jokic. We're talking about that because we know Joker's getting ready to get another one. So who's your favorite MVP?
Well, that's really easy for me because I hate all Colorado teams except the Broncos. So I was born in 1983. I love John Elway. I always loved him. My family's all Packers fans, and I grew up with no cable, but the Broncos played on Channel 5. So I love John Elway so much. I still do, and I would have really hated to see the Broncos have to fire him. So I'm so thankful for him, and the moments he gave me in my life I'll never, ever forget.
Well, 38% of our hooligans agree with you. That's the leading candidate. It's John Elway. Last place on this is Terrell Davis. I was kind of shocked on it. It's Larry Walker second. So
yeah, they wouldn't have won without Terrell, no question about it. And Larry Walker was an incredible player.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know Nikola Jokic or whatever if he walked into my living room right now.
Oh, Cody, man, we were bonding. You're killing me now. Oh,
I can't
boy.
Watch that NBA show.
Cody,
no,
I know. There's certainly a group that just hates the NBA. I hear you. I do. Especially when you get crazy calls like what we saw last night with the Nuggets. Cody, my man, what are you working on for us that we could check out?
Oh, boy. Football, and more football. I don't know if you've heard the news, but Wyoming lost a couple of quarterbacks to the old portal. So checking in with the new guys. Spoke with Andrew Peasley, the Utah State transfer, a couple days ago, and a really good guy, really. He actually got some nice tips from Levi Williams about Laramie and the team, and he's definitely got that date circled for when the Aggies come to War Memorial Stadium in October. So doing a lot of football. We have access today, heading over the hill actually here shortly to go bother some more dudes.
I love it, man. Keep up the great work. And I really appreciate you jumping on with us, man. It's a blast.
Absolutely. Always, Brady. Thank you so much.
All right, my man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He's not a Joker fan, though. I mean, everything else, we were there. 25 minutes after the hour, Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's your favorite Colorado sports MVP? Is it Elway? Is it Walker? Is it Sakic? Is it Joker? Is it Forsberg? Is it Manning? Or is it Terrell Davis? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And get rolling. Noob said Tim Tebow. On that note, we will take a break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Great guest so far, Cody Tucker. We're going to have Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and join us. We'll switch gears, talk Colorado State. Also, I'm going to have Komaite Kofi, a former defensive back for the University of Northern Colorado. And he had his pro day. He did a pro day at CU, actually, and UNC, trying to showcase his skill set. Got a chance to see that a little bit the other day. He has a tremendous story. You know, his mother, what she went through to get her boys, to get her family to the United States of America is, man, it's emotional. It'll get you. And I know Komaite, he's very open to talking about it. It's very emotional, but we're looking forward to having that conversation with him as he's hoping to get to the next level. He's hoping to get into the NFL like his brother, who plays defensive end for the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll talk to him in the 1 o'clock hour. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's your favorite Colorado sports MVP? Elway, Walker, Joker, Sakic, Manning, Forsberg, or Davis? Elway's leading with 34% of the votes. I mean, obvious. Second is Larry Walker. Then it's Nikola Jokic. Joker's in third. He's just jumped over Joe Sakic. Joe Sakic is fourth. Peyton Manning is fifth. Peter Forsberg. And then Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis is in last place on this. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. I'm curious to see where you guys are on this one. 32 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And now let's get the latest on the local sports flash.